At this time, I'm going to invite Renee up to give our sermon today.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? Good morning. My name's Renee. It is great to be with you. I have preached in a lot of churches, I think. I've never been preceded by a pie, so that feels like I can now say I've been preceded by a pastor who willingly was pied in the face. So, like Matt said, I spend my time now training and supporting female clergy and female preachers who are not clergy yet or are choosing not to be, and so that it is really joyful, complicated work, and I love it. I live really close to here in the North Park neighborhood, and I feel like as a local church pastor, I've been following the story that God has been writing at First Free for many, many years. And I'm really excited and hopeful about this chapter of the story of this church. And I'm just really glad to be with you this morning. So, like Matt said, we're continuing this series called Giver of Life. And in this series, it's been constructed to help embrace the power, the voice, the work, the joy, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. So rather than this just being kind of a cerebral, maybe factual piece of information that you might know as a follower of Jesus, the hope here is that this series becomes catalytic for us to really embrace the presence of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Last week, Matt talked about the power of the Spirit, and this morning, I'm going to talk about the voice of the Spirit. So when I say that, the voice of the Spirit, what's the image that comes to mind? Like what kind of imagination do you have for that phrase, the voice of the Spirit? You might imagine like two friends comfortably chatting on a walk. Maybe you imagine like a voice waking you up in the middle of the night. Renee, something like that. You might hear the phrase, the voice of the Spirit, and you might think of someone like in a wide open space, in the dark of the night, crying out to the heavens in their 11th hour of desperation. Or you might hear the voice of the Spirit and you might picture absolute silence. In any given room, there is a wide spectrum of experiences, beliefs, and expectations about how the Holy Spirit speaks. Right? Some of us feel really comfortable in conversation with the Spirit. If you're one of those people, you might have really concrete examples throughout your life with Jesus where you believe you have heard the Spirit and you've been led by the Spirit in a particular direction. Some people believe that the Holy Spirit only speaks to super Christians. The spoiler there are no super Christians. But we human beings like to believe that there are super everything. And so we believe then that the Holy Spirit only speaks to those who are especially faithful, sacrificial, and good. Like if you give God this, then he will give you his voice. Some people believe the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to anybody, super Christians included. And those, whatever your experiences, beliefs, and expectations are about how the Holy Spirit speaks, it has really influential shaping power in how you approach conversation with the Spirit. Right, like if you imagine the voice of the Holy Spirit to only give commands and correction, well, then you're going to think twice about starting a conversation. If you haven't heard God's voice with any ease and clarity that you want to, listening for the Spirit can feel like a really terrible game of hide and seek. So wherever you're at on that very wide spectrum this morning, whatever your expectations or experiences or beliefs are about the voice of the Spirit, know this, the Holy Spirit is with you. When we sing, "Come, Holy Spirit," we are not calling upon the Spirit to come from far away and come to us. When we sing, "Come, Holy Spirit," we're singing, "Holy Spirit, take up space in this place. Take up space in me. Take up space in the cavern of my heart and of my brain." There is extraordinary hope and joy within the invitation into conversation with the Holy Spirit. And that is not unique to us this morning. God has been in conversation with his people since creation. Since God created the Garden of Eden and walked with Adam and Eve, God has been speaking to people, and people have heard God. That has been the way it has been between God and the people of the earth from the beginning. And Jesus describes the conversation between God and his people particularly concisely in John 10. That's where we're going to start this morning. We're going to look at John 10, verses 2 through 5, and then verse 14. And here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking to those, to his disciples and those who are listening. He says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And he," the shepherd, Jesus, "calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he is brought out all on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." And then in verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." We are the sheep, and God is the shepherd. God speaks to all of us, and as God's creation, we are meant to hear him. Recognizing the voice of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not earned by the good or awarded to the best. It is intrinsic to our design. It is not an add-on feature that you pay for. It is something in you that is yours to nurture and practice. Conversation with the Spirit is accessible to us in all times, at all places, or at all times, in all places. Listen to how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit to disciples in John 14. He says this, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. In real time. In your daily life, the Holy Spirit is with you and wants to engage you. On your way to work, at the store, in that meeting, while you're studying, when kids are crying, when you're bored, when the day has been good or not so good, the voice of the Spirit is present to all of us always. Period. Which begs the question, what does it look like to listen? Right? Because here we are moving about our daily lives, doing all the things that need to get done. The world is really, really noisy. Your space might be even noisier than the world. Your internal conversation is going. And so what does it look like to listen to the Holy Spirit in your reality? My reality is not quiet. From the minute I just got this new dog, they're cute, but they're kind of annoying. Like, I woke up to something barking, right? That is not how I want to start my day, but we have a dog now. So my life is loud. There are people who want breakfast, and I'm a part of getting that to them. My life is loud. And so what does it look like to posture ourselves towards listening? First thing is that listening is active and intentional. As a hearing person, I can stand in a noisy room hearing layers of sound and conversation and not be listening to any of it. There is a difference between hearing and listening. Think about that. Think about all the things that you hear in a day, if you're a hearing person, and all the things that you listen to in a day. Often that list is different. What do you give your attention to? Habakkuk was a Hebrew prophet in the time right before the Babylonians captured Jerusalem. And if you ever read Habakkuk, it's this little book in your Bible. Sometimes we flip right through or right past it. And he's witness to all of this destruction and the total chaos of God's people. Okay? And so in Habakkuk chapter 1, he's crying out to God about what is happening. And this whole chapter is full of this like laundry list of horrible things that Habakkuk is witness to. He says, destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arrive. Justice never prevails. Lord, how long shall I cry out for help? And this list just unfolds of like one terrible thing after another. All of this devastation and ruin that Habakkuk is watching. And that's chapter 1. And the first verse of chapter 2 says this. I will stand at my watchpost, and I will station myself at the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he, God, will say to me. In the presence of all of this chaos, in the presence of all of this noise, Habakkuk then says, I'm going to stand at the highest point in the city with all my attention and presence, and I'm going to wait and watch to see what God does. Habakkuk finishes this breathless cry out to God, and he is attentive to see what God is going to say. What would it look like for you to be that attentive to the Holy Spirit? In the midst of all of the chaos and destruction and drama and noise in your life and in the greater world around you, what would it look like to be witness to all of those things, to be present to our reality and attentive to the Spirit? For me, that kind of attentiveness means resisting the urge to crisis plan just in case God doesn't come through. Like if I'm waiting for God, which I often am, and he's taking too long, which is often the case, in my opinion, then I begin to create plan B, plan C, or plan D. My crisis planning is fueled by anxiety. Right? Okay, Lord, I will wait. It's as if my prayer is, okay, Lord, I will wait for you for the next 5 minutes. And while you're getting your ducks in a row, I'm also going to get my ducks in a row in case I don't like your ducks. That is not being attentive to the Holy Spirit. That's using the presence of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, as an option on the menu. And then I will decide, do I want God's option or my plan D? Because I think my plans are good. What does it look like for you to be attentive to the Holy Spirit, where you are present to the reality of the world, but your eyes are on the Holy Spirit, waiting to see what will God say? And I'm so aware about how listening is shaped by the condition of our hearts. Right? That's true for any relationship. Right? Like, if someone you live with asks you to go grab something from the basement, the way you hear that request is often shaped by the condition of that relationship, right? Like if that partnership is running smoothly, things are good and peaceful, that's an easy follow through. Someone says, can you go grab that from the basement? You go grab it from the basement, bring it upstairs, all is well. But if bitterness is growing in you about how many times you've been to the basement this week, and how few many times they've been to the basement this week, then you're going to be real salty about that request. You might even feel unappreciated by the request or hurt by the request. Our ability to listen to the Holy Spirit is shaped in part by what's going on in our hearts and in our heads. I struggle to listen clearly to the Spirit when I am discouraged, when I feel bitter, hurt, disappointed, or tired. The condition of my well-being impacts my ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So the voice of the Spirit might be saying a whole host of things, but I am unable to hear it because of my own stuff getting in the way. So if you're having a hard time listening to the Spirit or being attentive to the Spirit, is there anything that's getting in the way? Is there a filter that your pain or your heartache or your unforgiveness is putting on the Holy Spirit and impacting how you hear God's care, God's love, and God's invitation? Are you deferring to someone else's listening as your own listening? You know, when we talk about postures of listening, it makes me wonder, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, do we know what we're listening for? I'm married to a musician, and oftentimes he will stop whatever we are listening to and he'll say, "Do you hear the bass?" I'll say, "I don't. Not even sort of." And he will replay it like several times to make sure I can hear the bass. Well, here's what's true. If you don't know what a bass sounds like, you can't hear it. I sometimes wonder if we know what we're listening for when we go to listen to the Spirit. You know, essentially, when the Spirit speaks, what does it say? We so often kind of constrain our experiences with the voice of the Spirit like an ATM. We go to the Holy Spirit for answers. Lord, what should I do with this? Should I take job A or job B? Okay, looks like job B is coming out of the ATM of the Holy Spirit. Okay, B it is. Lord, I don't know what to do in this particular situation with this particular coworker. They got transferred to another team, praise God. We often approach conversation with the Holy Spirit like an ATM. We put something in and we expect something back. That's not conversation, that's transaction. You are designed for conversation with the Holy Spirit. And that conversation is about building relationship, learning, asking questions, paying attention, changing your mind, being formed by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible is full of teachings about how to live in the world and follow Jesus. But we often have to be cued by the Spirit to do those things in real time, right? Like, I can read in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. But when the moment in my real life requires that patience and kindness, the Holy Spirit has to nudge me towards it. Because I often don't want to give it in that moment. The Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit to remind me of who I'm called to be. It's like the Holy Spirit like keeps us in the right lane. The Holy Spirit invites us to pray for each other, to encourage one another, invites us to be generous with our time and our money and our resources. The Holy Spirit also invites us to abstain, to walk away, to say no. The Holy Spirit invites us to apologize, to tell the truth, and to repent. A few weeks ago, I felt this like nudge from the Holy Spirit to do some relationship repair. This is someone I'm like always talking to. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was like nudging me to go back to this person and kind of do some repair. We had had this really bumpy interaction. And I'll tell you, I had no desire to do that. I thought she had been really rude. And I felt the Holy Spirit like, go back, go back. And honestly, like, I didn't want to. And I completely tried to ignore it. And I was like, Holy Spirit, I can't talk to you. I got preachers to train. Don't talk to me about this kind of stuff. I don't like this. And it was super annoying. She was rude to me. I thought she should come to me. Tell me what a great friend I am and how she was rude. And apologize. And then we could be friends again. And it wouldn't go away. All day. I felt the Holy Spirit kind of poke me, like, go back, own your part, see what was going on in that moment, see what got in the way. And so I avoided it for like a solid day, and then I braced myself and I went back. I said, hey, can I apologize? Like, the last time we interacted, that felt really awkward, and I'm sorry for how I responded to you. And you know what? That person responded with absolute kindness and tenderness. She was like, oh no, I started rough and I'm so sorry about that. And I said that thing that I think was hurtful for you. Will you forgive me? It was really easy, like tops 5 minutes. Forgiveness was had. And I'll tell you, if it was left up to me, I probably wouldn't have gone back. I felt hurt. And I wanted that other person to come towards me, to take the first step. And the invitation of the Holy Spirit moved me beyond my own resistance. That is often what the Spirit does, moves us beyond our own resistance. You know, I always hope that the voice of the Spirit will invite me into some sort of world-changing adventure. I'm always waiting for that conversation. And most often, the Holy Spirit speaks to me about things that change me. I'm always ready for an adventure. I'm always ready to sell all the things and buy all the plane tickets and do all the scary. I love that kind of stuff. And most often, the Holy Spirit talks to me about apologizing, going back, rethinking one measure of generosity for something different. Saying yes to something I don't want to do. You know, and we recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit in all different ways. Sometimes it is that nudge that won't go away or that idea that's living in the back of your brain. Some people audibly hear the voice of God. Other people have dreams where they experience the voice of the Spirit through imagery. God uses nature and music and art and beauty and children and smells and animals. Sometimes God speaks to us through the words and actions of other people. I have a great story about how one time God talked to me through a Portillo's chocolate cake. I had like a truly character transfer. I mean, I really like Portillo's chocolate cake, but I had like a transforming lesson about things I claim to believe and not believe, because when I learned that Portillo's chocolate cake had mayonnaise in it, which that's a secret. Go find it on Reddit. It's fascinating. But truly, God speaks to us in all different ways, all the time. And I think the dynamic nature of conversation with the Spirit is that he's always doing new things. I used to be someone that didn't like nature at all. Put me in an alley any day. I don't like the woods. They make me nervous. I've had a nature renaissance in the last 4 years. I love it. That God, it was like God was changing the shape of conversation with me. I'm so thankful for that. And let's also be honest about the fact that because we are humans, sometimes we listen to the Spirit clearly and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we attribute things to the Holy Spirit that aren't the Holy Spirit. And so we have to learn how to discern What is the Holy Spirit? And what's that weird thing you ate last night? What's the Holy Spirit? And what's someone maybe trying to get you to do something you didn't want to do? What's the Holy Spirit? And what's your own desire? 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 22 says this. Do not treat prophecies, that's often people listening to the Holy Spirit for other people, but it could also be God speaking to you as an individual, with contempt. But test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. Test what you believe the Holy Spirit has said to you. And you don't have to test it for 6 months. You can test it like for an hour, 2 hours. Is it consistent with Scripture? Is the thing you believe the Holy Spirit, is it consistent with Scripture? Is it consistent with the character of God? Does that thing you believe the Holy Spirit has said to you, does that thing produce loving God more and loving others more? Does your community agree with you? Testing what the Holy Spirit has said is not doubting God. Testing nurtures conversation with God. It's similar again to when we go back to a relationship and say, can I clarify something I think I heard you say? Did you mean this when you said that? I don't know that I understood that metaphor or that idiom that you used. Can you say it again? Testing the things that we believe the Holy Spirit has said to us or is directing us towards, it does not bring doubt into the equation. It nurtures conversation. And it feels important to say that conversation with the Holy Spirit includes both invitation and silence. I do not know any relationship of constant company where there is constant conversation. Sometimes the Spirit speaks, and sometimes the Spirit is quiet. Companionable silence, sitting comfortably with the Holy Spirit, is one of the most surrendered postures I can think of. Because most often, when I'm in an experience where I think I'm being attentive to the Holy Spirit, I'm kind of still and quiet, I feel like if the Lord wanted to say something, this would be the moment. I usually launch in to my 6 categories. Lord, what do you want me to do with work? Lord, I'm worried about blank. Lord, have you checked in on so-and-so? Hey, you said this last week and I didn't like it. Can we revisit it? But companionable silence, it's like that space that you share, like visiting your grandma, or being on a road trip with your best friend, or folding laundry with your partner. It's being present with one another, agenda-free, without the need to talk. We can get that with the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you sat with the Spirit, free of any requests about all the things in your brain? When was the last time you sat with the Holy Spirit just for the sake of being with the Spirit? It's uncomfortable to think of the Holy Spirit as silent, especially if you've ever experienced silence as a punishment. I had a teacher when I was in elementary school, and she used silence as a punishment. And I remember she would sit in front of us, and she'd sit at her desk, and she wouldn't talk to us. And that's very unnerving for young kids when the adult stops talking. And we would get really quiet, and then we would try to do things to get her to talk to us. That's manipulative. So So if you have ever experienced, if you've ever had negative experiences with quiet, it's easy to assign meaning to silence, right? Like, did something happen? Did I do something wrong? Is God mad? Is the Spirit still here? What's true is God invites us to speak to him and says he will answer us. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call to me and I will answer you. My experience is if there is a reason God is being silent, he does not keep that reason a secret. So if you want to know if there's a reason that God is silent, you can say, Lord, is there a reason you're being silent? You get to ask. Hear me say this. If you are in what feels like a persistent time of silence with God, here's what's true. The Holy Spirit is still with you. Absolutely. Without a doubt. He has not left you or floated away or gone to check on somebody else who's in worse situation than you are. The Holy Spirit is with you, even if he's been quiet for a long time. And while you're waiting for conversation with the Spirit, the best thing you can do is to fill yourself with truth. Read your Bible. Nobody likes to talk about how we don't do that in church, but lots of people don't read their Bible. Read your Bible. It helps you remember what God sounds like. The other thing that you can do is be honest with other people. Shame grows when we keep things a secret. I like Matt. I think he's honest. I think you could say to Matt, Matt, I haven't heard God in a while, and I think he'd be like, let's talk about it. I appreciate someone that doesn't put on airs. So my hope is that you could share that within this community and that would be met with conversation. You can ask other people to listen to the Holy Spirit with you. Sometimes we need help listening. Where you could say to a few people, I can't seem to hear God on my own. Could we co-listen together? It's a little awkward, but you know what? If you offer that to someone, it's likely that at some point they will return the experience. Silence is not the absence of the Holy Spirit. Silence is a space for us to lean towards God. I know you practiced silence together last week. When you can practice silence, intentionally going quiet for a little bit of time, it reminds you that silence is a space to experience God. It is not the absence of God. I have a hard time finding silence or being silent, so I go in my car and like sit there. I'm sure my neighbors have concerns, but it's okay. It's like the only place where I can get some quiet. Just find whatever little corner of that moment or of the world you have that's a little bit quiet. I think we like to believe that we'll sit there for 30 minutes and it'll be beautiful and the car will fill with the Holy Spirit and we will walk out feeling awesome. Usually I last about 4.5 minutes. And what's true is that's pretty sustaining to my soul. Conversation with the Spirit is available to us at all times. And so I wonder, where do you want to start conversation with the Spirit today? Sometimes I think it's hard for us to imagine that. So if the embodied presence of God was visible standing in front of you once we were done here and said, you want to take a walk to grab some lunch? Where would you start conversation? Would you ask a question? Would you talk about this beautiful weather we're having finally? Would you talk about what's going on, what you've got coming in the week? Or something that happened yesterday that's taking up space in your brain. There is nothing too small or too stupid to talk to God about. He loves you, and he knows you, and he wants to be near you in conversation. And so I'd like to actually start conversation with God, engaging the Holy Spirit now. So rather than being like, you know, today when you're, here's some homework. No, let's do it together. So how I imagine this going is I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to leave a minute of silence. I promise I won't leave us longer than that. Not everybody likes silence. Leave a minute. And I just wonder if you could imagine Jesus present to you in the form of the Holy Spirit, wanting to have conversation, where would you start? What would you say? And could you say that, you know, in your head, in your heart, don't say it out loud. Could you start that conversation here? If you have nothing to say, you don't have to say anything. If you don't want to start a conversation, you don't have to. But could I suggest that you say to the Holy Spirit, I don't want to talk to you right now. That's a conversation starter. Or you can say, I'm annoyed with you. I don't think that you can hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings. Sometimes clarity is a good starter. So I'm going to pray. We'll be silent. I'm going to invite you to start a conversation. Then I'll pray again, and we'll sing some songs together as we close. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here with us. I thank you that you want to live in conversation with us at all times, in all spaces. We want to be in conversation with you. Holy Spirit, we want to speak to you and we want to hear your voice. And so we're going to take a minute. And I ask, Spirit, would you engage us here as individuals in this room together? Here's how we'll start. We'll take our minute now. You can say what you need to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, wherever we are at, we ask that you would nurture these conversations with us, whether we are ready to talk or not. I pray, Father, that you would help keep our hearts tender and open to the things that you want to say or to show us. Holy Spirit, we want to be people who live in conversation with you. So we ask that you would show us the way into that form of relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.